You're listening to the
number one radio.
Trim Radio Network.
You're listening to The Brighter Life Show with your host, natural health practitioner, Dr. Leslie Berkland, and the Brighter Life Institute founder and vibration expert, Nicholas Brighter. Topics span from holistic lifestyles, meditation, natural medicine, spirituality, and finding your joy. Here at The Brighter Life Show, we want to hear from you. Call us at Trim Radio Network and ask questions or share your most uplifting
story. Okay, hello everyone, and welcome to The Brighter Life. My name is Dr. Leslie Berkland, and I am here with Nicholas Brighter. He is the founder of the Brighter Institute. He also sponsors my company, which is The Brighter Life. We are on Trim Radio Network, and we want to thank the folks at Trim Radio for allowing us to have a show. We really appreciate it. So today, what we're going to do is recap some of the things that we spoke about last week. Because actually it's kind of exciting. I received a bunch of emails of people saying, I want more. I want to hear more about narcissists and narcissism. And so that was our main topic last week. And so we're going to recap and then we're going to expand upon it. How does that sound to you, Nick?
I think that sounds good. I'm excited.
Are you? Because there's nothing more exciting than talking about narcissists. Everybody.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, I'm just kidding. Narcissists are actually not all that much fun, but
I think they're fun.
You do.
Isn't that the main reason why you'd want a narcissist around? Once you identify them as such, is that you. Something about them is entertaining, maybe?
Absolutely. Okay, it's funny that you say that, because why do people have narcissists in their life? And the main reason is because they are charismatic. They are the life of the party. They are fun. They are charming. They have these wonderful characteristics that sort of hook you into becoming friends with them or hiring them to work with you. So there's some things about them in the beginning of how they catch you, how they get you to like them. So it's really kind of interesting how narcissists work. A lot of people that only know them peripherally will say, oh, you know, she is a great gal. She is just so much fun. I know I'm going to have fun if I'm going to go out and hang out with her. But those are peripheral friends. You know, a lot of us get tied into real narcissists, and I mean the ones that have been diagnosed or are diagnosed or have a personality disorder. So, which is narcissism, which is can be very unpleasant. Once they're integrated into your life, then everything changes. And so there's a lot of signs. We're going to go over some of the main signs of a narcissist. And of course, you know, they're wonderful, or they seem wonderful, and they're charming, you know, like I mentioned. But you will soon discover that a narcissist, they have an incredibly strong sense of grandiosity. They have what appears to be a super high level of self-esteem, a super high level of self-importance, self-confidence. And often they feel like they are superior to others. They typically are arrogant, not to you, not to their friend right away, but they're arrogant. That's a sign that you need to look out. You need to look out if they are treating other people.
I think it's important to mention that a difference between arrogance and confidence is one comes from experience, and one is experience in knowing what the, you know, someone's ability from experience, basically, whereas one is an unwarranted confidence.
Oh, that's absolutely a narcissist. They will exaggerate their achievements and their talents. In other words, they will say, well, I have a degree in anything, in underwater basket weaving. If that's the subject, they are an expert and they have a degree in it. They oftentimes will claim that they're a doctor of this, that, or the other thing. Oh, I have my doctorate. Oh, I went to Harvard. Oh, I went to Pepperdine. I went to, I have all these degrees. And they may even go so far as to refer to themselves as Dr. So-and-so. And it was really kind of interesting.
Okay, Dr. Leslie.
Well, okay, except that I actually really do have a degree.
Do you mean when they don't?
Yes, okay, I apologize, yes. No. When they do not, when the achievements are just something that's exaggerated, they may have been on the campus of Harvard, but it doesn't mean that they actually attended, doesn't mean that they graduated, doesn't mean they went on to...
They took a class at a school that has a doctorate program.
Yes, something like that. And they will use it until they're caught. And then when they're caught, they will come up with some excuse. Some excuse, well, people just started calling me, doctor, because they assumed it and I didn't want to correct them. And so I just sort of, went along with it. It's always somebody else's. Always somebody else's fault. Nowadays, sometimes these things are easy to check out.
Well, I do imagine if you're coming up with some story about yourself that's not true, and you don't feel any guilt for doing so, if you don't feel there's anything wrong, then when someone else challenges you from your point of view, if you don't think you're doing anything wrong, it's going to be an attack on you. So I imagine that the narcissist not feeling any empathy, not feeling any guilt that what they're doing is wrong, misrepresenting themselves, they're going to feel like it's an attack when someone challenges something that they're challenges how they're representing themselves, I imagine.
That's true. That's absolutely true. That is, there's something wrong with that person. Why would they question them? They are somebody of great authority. They're the best at everything.
I guess what I'm getting at is that it seems to me like it's a natural response for them to respond that way.
And they will defend themselves. And I mean, they will when they're put on the spot. And they will make up some ridiculous story as to why they really didn't achieve this goal. Well, I knew somebody, or somebody else wrote that. Or my favorite, I never said that. My email was hacked and sent and changed all of my documents to put the word doctor or solicitor or whatever it may be. And what I find kind of interesting is they're usually a doctor of something, a doctor of, communications, let's say. And in the world of doctordom, if you are a medical doctor, if you are an MD, you can say that you're a doctor wherever you go, because it's just how it is, especially in America. If you have a PhD like me, I would only refer to myself as a doctor within my field. Like right now, I'm on a radio show, and so everything we're talking about is within my field. But I certainly wouldn't introduce myself to a group of people where it had nothing to do with natural health or anything within my field, and say, oh, well, I'm Dr. Leslie Berkland, because it's not within my field, because I have a PhD. So there's a little bit of a definition, but a narcissist will just say that they're a doctor of whatever. And I mean, they're a doctor, 24/7. So something else is when somebody challenges them, like you were saying, they believe it's because they're envied. That they are envied. People want to be them. And because the jealousy is so strong, that is the other person's main motivation for even creating a challenge. they consider creating a challenge. There is no real challenge in their mind.
So when someone, if someone identifies that how they're representing themselves is maybe not true, in a case where it isn't true, that the other person is doing that because they're jealous?
Yes. They are jealous of their brilliance. They're jealous.
But aren't they aware that it's not, that they're misrepresenting themselves?
Yes, but it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter because they are so brilliant. They actually should have that designation, whatever it may be. They should be a master plumber because they fixed a sink once. You know, they should have that designation.
Oh, because if they wanted to, they could easily have that designation.
Exactly.
I mean, if they would only just put in the effort.
Well, in their mind, they don't even need to put in the effort. They're just already at that status.
Well, it's so beneath them.
Well, it may be beneath them. They truly believe that they are unique and special, that they were put on this planet, that they were born because they are special. They're different than anyone else. They are just incredibly talented. It doesn't matter if they're talented or not. If they're a singer, they're the best singer. And the only reason why they're not a famous singer is because somebody envies them, the industry, because they're so incredible that the entire world or the people, the producers, the people that would actually help them get to a stage of fame, they envy them because of their talent. They are obsessed with fantasies of brilliance and power and success. They want everyone to know that they are successful. And they're not. They're not always successful. Some of them are. Some of them have achieved a level of success that maybe you or I alone, as it stands alone, may think, well, that's great. I feel that I've achieved my goals. But they always embellish it so that actually once it's discovered that they've been lying, it takes away from what they may have actually really achieved.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
Okay, so
well, it's like the boy who cried wolf, right? What happens if some of those, you know?
Exactly, maybe the boy who cried wolf. Then finally, people just aren't going to believe him, and then I think the wolf eats him in the end.
And so,
is that what happens?
It's maybe not the best analogy. I guess I understand that in many cases, those narcissists will have real achievements, but once they're found out to be a fraud in some sense, their true achievements are going to be looked at as fraudulent also.
It could be looked at, or just they're sort of undermining their own achievement.
They might be embellished anyways.
Yeah, but I'm talking about actual real achievements. I mean, but they're not happy. They're not happy with those achievements. They have to make it bigger and grander. And then, exactly, Nick. You know what? You are right. Then people just sort of disregard, or they don't even know if they should believe their true achievements. They also have a sense of entitlement. They're entitled in every regard in their life. They're entitled to have the best of the best. They are entitled to be treated as if they are special.
I think it's important to point out for our viewers that the degree for many of these is what a psychologist would deem an unreasonable degree. And why I mention that is because many of these things are things that I can, as Leslie mentions them, I can think, oh, I can identify with that a little bit myself, and I can identify with this. And well, it's because many of these are things that most people, I think everyone has to a small degree, and it is what a psychologist would deem to an unreasonable degree. So I'm just pointing that out for our viewers.
Yes. They also, well, it's kind of interesting because all of us, if right now, if you're listening to the show and you think, "Ooh, I might be a narcissist," you're probably
that's kind of what it is. Yeah,
you're probably not. The odds are very, very, very slim because a narcissist would never say that. They would never say, "Oh, I might be a narcissist," just because we've all had times of being selfish. You know, we've all had times of where maybe we embellish something a little bit.
And I know every time I hear you, I've heard you speak about narcissists, I've ended up thinking to myself, like, oh, that sounds kind of like, me.
You're not. Promise you, you are far from a narcissist. But, you know, there's also the spectrum. You know, that I talked about where there's some people that are on the spectrum. You're not even on the spectrum. I mean, somebody that has a selfish moment, you know, they're not on the spectrum. And then there's people that meet some of the criteria that you might look at. And then as it gets closer to where you're, you know, clinically diagnosed, having the narcissistic personality disorder, and then that's a full-blown narcissist.
So where did we leave off at?
Well, you know, we're still talking about narcissism, and then I'm going to talk about ways to combat narcissism.
Okay.
So, but let's, there's still a little bit more because I think that people need to, you know, recognize people or not just say, oh, that person's not.
Let's hear some more about.
Narcissists would take credit for everything that happens to you. If you are their friend, if there's somebody that is close to
everything
you.
Everything good, I imagine.
Everything. Well, yeah. Yeah. I should have mentioned that part. Anything that has happened to you that is good. Well, you know, I told you about that. Glad you took my advice. You know, you should be thanking me. You know, you should be even if you had, if you did thank them and it was true, they did mention something. I'll give you just a really brief example. I had a friend who was clearly a narcissist. I actually liked him because he was just such a character and just so silly. But I knew that he was a narcissist, so I knew better to not introduce him to my closest friends. Because there's a reason for that. I'll tell you in a minute. But to not share too much about myself. But he noticed at my home that, you know, I needed a couple repairs done. And he said, I can do that. I could build a house from the foundation up. You know, I'm an expert. Hey, let's just go to the store. You buy the wood and I will do this for you. And I believed him at the time. I actually, because he was convincing. We went to the store. We bought the wood. Started the project. I got the ladders out and bought the paint, bought everything that was needed. And he had absolutely no idea what he was doing. Made a complete mess of my house where it was embarrassing. So after he left, I, a couple weeks later, called the contractor and had everything repaired. So every time he would come over to visit, to say hello.
And did it need repairs beforehand?
It needed minor repairs. It was just a couple things. But then after this narcissist decided to take over, it was pretty bad. It was worse. Let's just say it was worse than before. So to the point where it was an eyesore. So I did have to hire a contractor who came in, ripped everything out, redid it all. Since then, when that narcissist would come over, hey, remember when I fixed that for you? Looks really good, doesn't it? And I'm like, you have no idea the thousands I had to spend to fix your mess.
So, now, does he know that how it looks now is not his work?
No, he believes it's his work.
He believes it's his work.
Okay. He believes that it's his work. I just actually didn't have the heart to tell him, you know, because I didn't want to have that conversation. I didn't want to have that being defensive, you know, and the lies. And so I just knew, you know, so that wasn't probably a good conversation to start.
I guess that is one risk is that a narcissist might be entertaining, but once you once you start getting involved in certain things yourself, then you're going to be a part of those kinds of stories.
Yeah. That was sort of in the beginning, you know. So anyway, let's just...
I suppose that's a boundary issue.
Well, now, why don't we talk... It is a boundary issue. So why don't we talk about how to handle a narcissist? You have a narcissist in your family, so they're related to you. There's going to be occasions where
so that was a good segue.
Well, yes, thank you.
Maybe. I'm assuming.
You assumed well. So the first thing that you would do with a narcissist, one that it's sort of how to handle a narcissist, especially one that is in your family. And so you can't completely ignore them or just X them out of your life forever. But you believe that they're a narcissist. And it is to create boundaries would be the number one thing to start. And that's to make clear boundaries. Because a narcissist will change your words. So the boundaries have to be worded very, very carefully and very precisely so that you can repeat yourself. This is exactly what I said. In fact, you even may want to do some journaling and write down exactly what was said, because they will say, you never said that to me. Those boundaries were never set. Narcissists will always try to push the envelope. They will try to push that envelope a little bit further, getting close to you. They may even inappropriately touch you in a way that, I don't mean in a sexual way or anything like that, but they may touch your shoulder, just sort of, you know, touch you in the small of your back where you just don't have that kind of a friendship. And so they may do things like that. So that would be a boundary to be set. Like, don't do that. It makes me uncomfortable. Now the narcissist will come back and say, later. So now why do you have issues? You know, do you hate it when anyone touches you? If you had a boyfriend and they touched you, would that be a problem?
So to identify what kind of relationship you have with that person.
Yes.
What type of relationship you're willing to have with that person, and what are the boundaries that you're comfortable in those cases, and to know them before you're interacting with them.
Right. And so when you're speaking up, describing your boundaries, it is important to be clear and concise.
And I would also mention in the case that if the narcissist is a guy and this is a woman, if he does ask you and you mention what you're okay with and what you're not okay with, if that is not okay, if that's a line that is not okay with him for continuing the friendship, then he won't be around anymore.
Then lucky you.
You need to be able to. You just need to be able to accept that. If he's not okay with that, then he won't be around anymore.
Well, I can. There is some.
But let him mention that, I guess.
Yes, but if
because if you're not okay with him not being around, then you need to adjust what you are willing, what kind of relationship you are willing to be in with him.
The odds are that the relationship with the narcissist is not going to last forever. Not forever. It's not a healthy relationship in the long run.
I guess what I'm saying is identify what your boundaries are and stick with them. And be able to express them if it's brought up.
Yes, because a narcissist will pretend that they understood you, but then they will do it again to see if they can get away, to push that envelope a little further, just to say, I did it one time, and now you, what is your problem? Why are you so sensitive? What, you don't like people to touch you? What's going on with that? That doesn't make any sense. Nobody else has ever complained about that. And of course, well, probably everybody else has complained about that. So, in other words, watch, your wording with the narcissist, because they don't take constructive criticism well. They just simply don't. And so you don't want to interact and start an argument. And because of that, it is very important to stay calm, because they may want to pick a fight with you. If you're telling them something very simple, like, you know, don't touch my shoulders. I don't need you to grab my arm and help me across the street. I'm fine. Stop eating all these excuses just to touch me. They will say that you have a problem, and they will try to gaslight you and change your reality. Well, you seem to have some problems. You know, what kind of, you know, what happened to you as a child? You know, on and on and on. And they'll start a fight. So, and it's all because the narcissist does not take criticism well. So,
I would also mention that you putting any sort of boundaries on them is you, in that capacity, elevating yourself above them. Now, it's the capacity of what's okay with, in regards to what you're okay with when you're interacting with them. But a narcissist doesn't handle a person putting themselves above them in any capacity.
Or at least they would consider it.
No matter what the situation is.
An attempt. They would consider an attempt, because nobody is above a narcissist.
So in other words, even if they were in your home, mm-hmm. and you know, you didn't want people touching a certain faucet, maybe, you know, maybe it needs some work done. Mm-hmm. Right? So you tell them, you know, no one touch the faucet over there, because it's not working, right after they touch it. Well, that's you putting yourself over them in the capacity of what's okay and what's not okay in your home. But a narcissist is not going to be able to handle that well, because under any capacity, that they don't like it when someone puts themselves over them.
Right. That they'll say, oh, I just did that anyway, because I was trying to figure out what the problem was, because I want to help you. Because I'm such a giving person. Narcissists consider themselves the most giving people also. I just give and give and give, and nobody, you know, you don't appreciate me. You don't appreciate all these things to do. No. Something else is, don't try to direct the narcissist. They want to be the ones in control, and they have a huge fear of losing it. So any effort to lead or instruct a narcissist will fail. Now, there are some tactics if you have somebody that you have to be in their life, and there's a way to mention something to a narcissist, and then when they mention the same thing back, tell them that that was a great idea. That's just to stop any complications or any fighting, and somebody that maybe you're forced to have to be around. It could be an employee at work. Although, people that you work with, narcissists will take 100% credit for the work that you've done. They will lie to the bosses. Even if they get caught, even if they ultimately get fired, they will take credit for your hard work. So, something else, do not expect the narcissist to see your point of view. They can't. They only have their own point of view. They will never admit that they're wrong. They'll never admit that they agree with you. You're wrong. They're right. End of story. Don't expect, a deep, meaningful type of communication. They don't really have empathy. They don't really know anything about honesty. A heartfelt communication, it doesn't even, you know, work in their brain. So, and like I said last week, they sometimes can fake a meaningful conversation or communication, but when they do that, it's for one purpose, and that's for ammunition that they will ultimately use against you later. And oftentimes, when they use that later, it's with your family members. Because when they talk to your family members, it's not to help you. It's to undermine you. It's to set you up for that day that you decide that you're going to either leave the narcissist, that you're done with the narcissist. They've put little tiny thoughts in your family member and friends' heads, like, oh, she has an issue, or, you know, he just has some problems. He's been down lately. He or she is not being themselves. So they're actually setting you up so that they end up being the good person, and you're the one that has the problem, because as we know, narcissists believe that they are perfect and that there is nothing wrong with them. So let's go right into how to deal. I mean, really, there's a point where, you know, how to deal with a narcissist. The first thing is to just see them for who they are. You know that they have this narcissistic personality. You know that they're good at turning on the charm. You know that they have grand ideas and grand promises. You know how they treat other people. But very importantly is that they will treat you the same way someday, very soon. So if they manipulate people, they are going to manipulate you. If they're lying to people, they're going to be lying to you. Anything they do to someone else that they're free to do it in front of you, they will turn it around and do it to you. So my point is really accepting that that's who they are and that they're not going to change. So it's kind of, it's not...
So is that... If you have a special place at the time that they're doing that, where maybe they don't do that to you, that in the future you won't?
I can guarantee that they will do it to you. You can just say that. But that's who they are. The point of this is just accept that you cannot change them. You are not their savior. That is not going to happen. And what you need to do really is to break the spell and stop focusing on them, because their whole life is about them and their happiness and what they want. And so you don't want to allow them to just define your world, your sense of self. Just don't allow that to happen anymore. So that's pretty much like step two, let's say. You need to take charge and have some me time and take care of yourself, because a narcissist is all about them, and your job is not to fix them. Sometimes we are natural fixers. We don't recognize right away that they're a narcissist, but just know, accept them for who they are. They cannot be changed. You cannot fix them.
I would also add that in order to genuinely help anyone in a way that's actually helpful to them, you have to be able to take care of yourself to begin with. So if you're unable to take care of yourself, you can't fix them.
Even
if they were fixable.
Right, and that's true with anybody. So not, you know, just the narcissist.
So always start with yourself first.
Right, and that's not being selfish.
So that you can help others.
That's not being selfish. It's just like being on the airplane. You know, you lose compression. You know, the oxygen drops down.
If you're unconscious.
Put it on yourself, then you're able to help other people. Because if you help other people, you can only help one person before you pass out.
Mm-hmm.
So there's sort of an analogy
there. Exactly, and that's the entire reasoning for, yeah.
Yeah. Definitely try not to be visibly flustered or show any kind of annoyance, because it's going to get you nowhere. I think we talked about boundaries, so really, again, make the boundaries very concise. And remember that they have a little sense of personal space. They will cross boundaries all day long, so that's why it needs to be very clear. You need to be very clear. You can talk about some consequences if they continue to to, push the envelope, you can expect them to push back. That absolutely will happen by pushing, the envelope further and further and see how far they can go, because everybody has a limit. And I'm going to say it's not your fault. The fact that they are a narcissist, it is not your fault. You did not make them a narcissist. I think it is important to find, to build some healthy relationships. Sometimes you're involved with a narcissist who has isolated you from your family, and they've, criticized you. Your self-esteem is quite low. But you can remember what it was like having a healthy relationship. And so try to find a support group, a network of people so you can have some healthy relationships, and try not to talk endlessly about the narcissist, because that's no fun for the listener.
So, yeah, I would say you don't need to complain about them with your friends and family, because doing so will not help that process. You need to move on from them.
That's it.
So don't give them your, don't give their name your attention.
Yes. Now, last week when we were talking about therapy, will a narcissist seek therapy? Can a narcissist be helped? And I said, absolutely not. They won't, because they don't think that there's anything wrong with them. However, there are occasions where a narcissist will go to family therapy, like a husband-wife situation. Mm-hmm. So let's say the wife is a narcissist. She will be willing to go, but not because she really wants to help her husband.
Under some other guise? Yeah.
Well, she'll go because she is a narcissist and she wants to win that therapist over and convince that therapist that the wife is the problem, that they're perfect. They've tried everything imaginable under the sun to get help, to try to help their spouse. And a good therapist will see right through that. But that is one of the rare occasions where a narcissist will be in a counseling or a therapy session with somebody else, whether it be a family member or a spouse. So it's not completely impossible. However, they cannot be helped. It's very, very difficult for them. They're just not going to change their ways. However, there is something that I did personally, through the different therapies that I specialize in, I really was curious about equine therapy. Mm-hmm. And I believe the equine therapy can slightly, a little bit, help a narcissist.
And for those who don't know,
it means horsey, like any kind, like it could be a zebra, but we're not talking about zebras or equine
horse,
is
horse
the horse family. Yeah, but equine therapy is where you, a therapist will be working with an equine specialist, somebody who works with horses. And it is just extraordinary. I had no idea what to expect. So I actually did a therapy session. It's incredible, because the list of things of how it helps people is, it helps people with behavioral problems or relationship issues, even grief, depression, anxiety, people that have ADHD, addiction. They oftentimes will work with people that are just out of jail, people that even have eating disorders. But they don't have narcissists is not usually typically on the list. I am just putting this out there. This is something that I have not personally brought a narcissist.
There are other benefits, and from what I know, I can see how equine therapy would would help a narcissist, even if they went for a different reason, to improve themselves in some other way, simply because a horse has a lot of emotions that you have to deal with, and they can't be bullied around.
How do you know this?
I'm familiar with equine therapy. I don't exactly know. Let's hear what you have to say about it, I guess.
Okay. No, so this is just me.
I know in general what it is.
You could get a narcissist under, like you're suggesting, let's just do this. It could be fun. Mm-hmm. We could work with, our relationship issues.
That's how I'd approach it.
Yes. Yeah. But it's exactly what you said. They do wonderfully under it, because you cannot lie to a horse. Mm-hmm. You can't manipulate a horse. You can't be charming to a horse. You can't have an ego with a horse. Horse doesn't care about all of your achievements. Horses, there's two things that happen during equine therapy. The horse has to trust you. The horse has to feel comfortable with you, and you have to gain, the horse has to gain respect.
I was going to add that.
Mutual respect. So there's trust, and if the horse does not have any respect for you, it's not going to go well. So during equine therapy, it really was just extraordinary. The therapist will give you a rein and say, go put this on the horse. And you could say, well, I've never done that before. Well, you go figure it out. So you have to walk up to the horse. The horse could run away from you. You have to continue to walk up. You have to somehow get that horse to trust you, to know that you are a trustworthy person. You cannot bully a horse. That's why it's good for people that are, bullies. Or somebody that's out of jail, a criminal, because you can't bully them.
In most cases, I imagine the horse is just too big.
Well, they're about 1,200 pounds. So, yeah, versus whatever you happen to weigh. So, yes. that's funny. So, but if that horse doesn't trust you, your job is to gain their trust. And you can do it. And it takes them a while. So at my very first therapy session, it took probably 45 minutes before the horse really trusted me, only because I had fear. I had those fear pheromones
And I would also add that I've seen a session before. There's a couple. And it, to me, it looked like something that would actually be fun for a couple to do.
Yes, there is a little, now of course the narcissist will be competitive. They'll want to be the first one.
It doesn't even need to be approached as a, we need therapy. It looks like a fun dating idea, possibly.
Right. Hey, honey, I think you're kind of messed up. Let's go get some equine therapy. No, but you're right, because you can just go horseback riding for a while.
Yeah.
But usually you're in a ring. You're in the ring with the horse. You have to, once you get, the rein on the horse, then you have to guide the horse around. Then you stand in the center and you have a little stick. I'm so sorry. I don't know. The equine therapy people are just going to laugh at me.
But like a lot of people don't understand the interaction that people have with horses every single day. And so for those that aren't familiar with that, like me, it opened my eyes to this other world that people that interact with horses, I didn't understand that interaction was a lot more complex than I thought it was.
Horses are very sensitive and they're very intuitive. So back to, you're in the ring and you have to take this pointer, mm-hmm. stick, or whatever it is, and you have to tell it where to go. And it could just walk away from you and just pee. or lay down and roll around.
Or pee right in front of you.
Right, that's what I mean. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have to it has to want to do what you want it to do. And it takes a while. It may take, you know, several sessions, but it's really interesting. And so people learn that their behavior towards other humans is not the same, you know, at all with a horse, and that that's really how you need to gain the respect of somebody else. You need to gain someone's trust. And through equine therapy, that is something that you learn. So I'm not saying it certainly is not going to cure a narcissist, mm-hmm. but I think it could help. And so...
I think that everyone would benefit from doing equine therapy at least once, just to open, you know, to learn something new.
Well, because there's, you know, it just helps in so many areas, and it's very, very popular. Now, you know, and it's
and like you said, it helps in so many areas.
So many other areas. There's people that have just emotional or behavioral difficulties, and then there's people that actually have special needs. Like you may have multiple sclerosis. You may have someone that has a cerebral palsy, you know, autism. They may have some amputation, you know, they might be missing an arm. And so doing equine therapy or even just riding a horse. Now, when you have special needs, that therapeutic riding programs, they're geared up to help you get on the horse. This isn't about, you know, hey, you know, you're missing some limbs, go hop up on that horse. I mean, they help you because...
So in equine therapy, are people riding the horses? Because I actually haven't seen that.
I'm sorry. I'm talking about the people with special needs typically mm-hmm. will ride the horse.
Mm, okay.
People that have some other issues, like the ones that are like, you know, well, of course, I've added narcissism to it, but the ones that have depression or grief or relationship issues or behavior problems, a lot of teenagers, I'd recommend that everyone take your teen that's out of control, have them do that type of equine therapy. So it's not necessarily riding a horse. Then there's the special needs. You could have a spinal injury, traumatic brain injuries. There's just that relationship with working with a horse and riding the horse. Horses are wonderful, and they actually have special programs for people that are veterans that have a PTSD. They learn how to integrate into a civilian life with the help of communication skills with the horse. So, because it helps their emotional regulation and trust. So, equine therapy, we can talk about this maybe on the next episode a little bit more. In fact, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll have an equine therapist actually come on the show.
Okay.
And she can explain a lot more than I am. But now that's just something I added, if you want it, because I had said last...
I know for me, and I imagine for a narcissist, it would maybe help in this regard, that something that it kind of opened my eyes to is that I might be able to get someone to do what I want, but unless they want to do it, the quality... or the motive, or there'll be some other aspect to it that is maybe not beneficial to me if they don't actually want to do it. And with the horse, when the horse doesn't want to actually do it, they won't do it, period. But there's a certain point where they will. And so in human beings, it's not so obvious as with the horse.
You can't manipulate a horse.
Whereas you can manipulate a person, but it... might not be beneficial to you to do so. And so I think with the horse, I think it draws that line a lot more distinctly to think about it with people, that if the person doesn't actually want to do it, but they're doing it anyways, it might not be beneficial to you. So maybe you shouldn't do that. So they might be plotting something, or it'll come back around to hurt you in some other way.
Well, I don't have a lot of...
So I suppose be genuine about it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay, so next week, let's talk about next week. We will have an equine therapy specialist on. I think that that would be a great idea. And I am curious about something since you are the vibration expert.
I'm listening.
Okay, so my question for you is, in regards to a narcissist, what is their vibration? Because a lot of narcissists are super intelligent. A lot of them are, I mean, they have different areas of their narcissism that they're more prone to. So
I know that, so I like using the Dodson scale, which is a 0 to 700 scale. And in that scale, the 200 is, you know, right around where I'd view the positive and negative, or 200 sort of neutrality, and the animalistic side of people is right at a 200.
And like, what would a dog be?
Well, I think they'd be right around 200, I suppose.
But, oh, what, but you said animalistic.
possibly lower, I suppose, but more on, more like a, the animalistic side of a person.
Okay.
So and narcissists measure at about 190, and more importantly is the traits that are, if you're not too familiar with the scale,
okay,
the traits
so sorry
that
also to interrupt.
Exist.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
190 seems incredibly low. I need to get out of thinking that intelligence has something to do with, because narcissists usually are relatively intelligent.
Narcissists are really good at appearing to be at a higher vibrational level.
Oh.
And I would say typically they will appear to be at a level as a very charismatic extrovert, maybe a successful businessman, people that are around 350. And so at about... But they'll be on the level where you're going to find a lot of egotism, a lot of pride, and a lot of ego-motivated activities, which is around 190. And so they're going to be ego-driven. So everything's going to get filtered through the ego. Anything that is an attack on the ego, is they're going to perceive that a lot more strongly than most people. So this also explains why any type of situation where someone puts themselves over them, even if it's a situation where the other person is expected to, like maybe they're paying for a service where the other person's expected to put themselves over them, it's going to be perceived as an attack on their ego, thus attack on themselves. But so they measure it about 190, and they're very good at pretending to be having the appearance of a much of a higher vibrational level. What I would kind of view as where people are ambitious and but open to new ideas and motivated and have some success and are probably still kind of goal driven. But they're meeting their goals, so what I would consider to be on the Dodson scale of mid-300s.
But a narcissist is ego-driven, so no matter what they've achieved, it all is filtered through their ego. Their ego is what comes first.
Their ego comes first, and I would say their I described someone like this recently, although I don't think that person is a narcissist, but I suppose there's some similarities. It is what their reality is, what they see filtered through their ego. That is reality to them.
Okay, I don't know exactly what that means.
I like to explain the ego as the voice inside your head that you perceive as you.
Okay.
And so everything gets filtered from the point of view of what benefits that voice in that head. What does the voice in that person's head want? And that's how everything gets filtered. And Whereas if a person's a little more open-minded, they might realize that what that voice wants isn't necessarily always what's actually beneficial for them. And hopefully you can identify that and identify what's actually beneficial for you in achieving your goals. But the narcissist just looks at what the ego wants.
Right, and the ego is actually there, is the me.
Well, I'm kind of making an assumption there, but a person who filters everything through the ego is going to look at it like that, which I imagine a narcissist is going to do that. But a narcissist definitely measures at that level.
I never, ever would have guessed that a narcissist would be around a 190.
And that they are very good at appearing to be at a higher level.
I get that, because they want to.
Now, everyone does that to some degree. When a person's out in public, they have their public face or their public mask, which is usually a different level than they are, usually a little bit higher. But in a narcissist case, it's going to be notably higher than they actually are.
Yeah. That is just so fascinating. So what would somebody that is a non-narcissist, how do they funnel it if everything doesn't go through their ego? How would they?
Well, everyone's a little different. It's going to depend kind of on where they are. And I would say, in general, the higher level someone is, the higher vibration someone is at, the more open-minded they're going to be, and the more awareness that they're going to have, the higher they're, the more open their consciousness will be.
Ah.
And the less focus on self.
Oh, excellent. Okay, I get it. That does make perfect sense. Well, I want to thank you so much for being with me. And I
welcome.
Look forward to and I look forward to next week. And anyone that wants to contact myself or Nick, you can email us at thebrighterlife@mail.com. I'm going to spell that for you. thebrighterlife@mail.com. We will respond to you, but you can ask us any questions or any subject matter that you would like to hear on the show. We would just love to hear from you, and I want to thank the people that sent me messages last week, and that's actually primarily why we did sort of a second part of narcissism. So you can still even ask questions about narcissism, although next week we'll probably have another subject, but that's perfectly fine. Anything, if you are an equine therapist, please, please give us a call. So, okay. So until next week, have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
That's right, take the red pill and I will show you how deep the rabbit hole goes every Saturday night from 9 p.m. to midnight here on the Prim Radio Network.
It's
the Red Pill Reality Show. See you then.
After this, there is no turning back.
The Brighter Life Institute presents A Brighter Life with your hosts, holistic health practitioner, Dr. Leslie B., and the Brighter Life co-founder, Nicholas Brighter. A stirring mix of holistic wellness, spirituality, and a pinch of politics interrupted.